B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's been a little growing rumble, Wick, as you head to the middle of the standings and towards the bottom half of the standings, that the team would be better off losing games and getting a higher draft pick. What's your thought on, for lack of a better word, tanking for a better draft pick?
Yeah, well, that would have been the only reason I would have enjoyed the weekend, I guess, than if we were trying to do that. But I did not enjoy the weekend, and we are not trying to do that. That's not us, and it doesn't fit with us. But we're losing games while we're trying to win. But anyway, we haven't discussed it, and it's not part of the DNA. And I would like to win the next 15 games in a row and tell everybody to save the emails and save the calls to you.
No need to save the calls. You can bring them. So that's Wick Grosbeck on with us yesterday. Full interview again at 98.5thesportshub.com. I know the tanking movement's probably picking up steam. It has to be. I mean, you're wretched. You are now closer to the bottom of the league than the top. I think you're in ninth place. I think if the playoffs began today, the old playoff format, you're out.
Yeah.
But now you're in one of these play-in positions, which I didn't even, like, what is that? Like, they did it last year, but I didn't really pay attention to it. What is the play-in round? Like,
so,
what is that?
Yeah, so six will get in, and then the next four have to play in for the final two spots.
Single elimination? Like, they semifinal, how does it, it really doesn't matter. So, you know, but that's the position you're in. You're in that for cock to play-in thing. That's how bad it is. So, generally, those teams, you think, well, do we want to go for it or go to the bottom? Except it's not happening.
So I was about to say, you want the good news?
Go ahead.
Here's the good news. They might suck their way into the lottery without trying. they don't have to tank. They could just be bad enough where it doesn't matter. Because last night was a debacle.
I mean, I said it yesterday. They're inventing new and more brutal ways to lose every night now. And that last night, I didn't even know. I didn't really think they were capable of that kind of performance. I know it was probably going to be bad because they're starting Teague. But you guys have watched these games. Gallinari stinks. He's washed up. He has cement feet. He can't jump. He finished with 38 points. 38 points.
Oh, the mother bleeper couldn't miss.
Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable.
He scored 18 in the second quarter.
It was unbelievable. So I have one follow-up Celtic thought, Maz. What's yours first, though?
No, you go ahead.
Well, to me, I just we've heard now from all the principals there. You know, with the Celtics, to their credit, which I want to get to later on this hour as well. We've heard from the owner, the GM, the coach, the players, all of it. They're all sort of rallying around Brown and Tatum. They're all, you know, everyone is protecting their two superstar players. No one's calling them to task other than the play-by-play guy. And as I sit here today, I am firmly in the camp of the play-by-play guy. Brown and Tatum, one, two, those are the issues. That's the issue on this team. And I'm not telling you to trade them yet. I'm not telling you to break them up yet. I'm just telling you this is what what brings me to this, Maz, more than anything is how these two have carried on from day one. There have been issues and undercurrents on this team the entire way, right? Kyrie Irving going back and forth with the young guys. We thought it was Kyrie Irving, and it probably, you know, was to a large extent too because he's a bozo. But anyway, it was between him. We remember how Jaylen Brown was always clapping back at Kyrie Irving that last year about it's all of our responsibilities and not just the young guys. Like, Jaylen Brown, like, of course, you know, stands up to Kyrie Irving. Well, good for you, Jaylen Brown. We thought Kyrie Irving was the problem. Jaylen Brown's in the right, so see you later, Kyrie. We don't need you. And then it becomes, well, the problem was, it turns out it may not have been Kyrie Irving. It may have been the fact that Gordon Hayward was getting too many minutes. And who was the mom, one of the parents, who even said, yeah, one of the problems is Brad's playing his son too much.
Yeah.
And that was either Mrs. Brown or Mrs. Tatum, right? It was like,
correct.
One of those two is chirping about, oh, the coach favors that guy over us. And now they're bitching about Gordon Hayward. So he's the problem. All right, he's gone. Then it becomes, well, Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is, you know, he thinks he's the original Isaiah Thomas. He doesn't know his place. He's an emotional wreck. So good for Jaylen Brown for standing up. For standing up to Marcus Smart because he's a problem. So now Marcus Smart's been out for 2 weeks. And so now all these problems that Jaylen Brown had and all these problems that Tatum and Brown have having to deal with Kyrie Irving cramping their style, or Gordon Hayward getting minutes that they deserved, or Marcus Smart thinking he's better. All those problems are gone. It's all just Brown and Tatum. And how are they? They are gutless, soft, sucky team. So you two wanted this. You got it. It's your fault. I'm with Mike Gorman. I stand with Gorman. That's my follow-up self-stake.
Look, those guys are scorers. And I think Ainge even said something this morning with Tutcher and Rich about how they don't have any cover anymore. And that's what it is. There aren't veteran guys there to shield them. Now it's all on them, and they're not ready for it. They don't know how to make the people around them better. And so, again, this is, to me, the principal thing that separates really great players in that league from the other ones. Can you make other people better? So, look, the development for me that I noticed that since we left here yesterday, boy, Ainge sounded frustrated this morning. I haven't heard him like that in a long time, maybe ever, here in Boston. He sounded like a frustrated guy, and he hides it well, or tries to, but there were a couple of times where pauses and questions or what have you, and I think he is borderline exasperated by what is going on with this team on the floor.
Okay, so meanwhile, the support of Brown and Tatum continues. The coddling of those two continues, at least publicly. We'll see if that's the right approach or not in time. But
they did it with Kyrie too, right? Remember when Brad Stevens was like supporting him going to the All-Star game, and like at that point where he had been missing games. Like they're always going to support these players because it's a players' league, and without them, you got nothing. So I get it, and it does feel like Gorman's out on an island, but I also stand with him because his assessment's the correct one.
Good for Gorman. He's right. And ultimately, you know where this is going to go. They are hell-bent, and Wick said it yesterday, supporting those two, Brown and Tatum. So if they've tuned out the coach, eventually the coach is going to go. Like, you just that can last for a time. It's not going to be a permanent situation if those two aren't into Brad Stevens. Stevens ain't going to last. It's just the way it works in that league. And if it's all the other players' fault, they'll be gone. And it's just going to be those two. I mean, that's the path they're on. And they should be scared as hell that this is what it looks like so far. These two asked for it, Brown and Tatum. They asked for it. But they're going to keep supporting him. Yeah, give me Wick number five, Jimmy, if you could. Wick number five from yesterday.
So Jason and Jaylen made the All-Star team. I don't view them as selfish players. I've watched every second of every game this year and a lot of the games twice. And I see those guys passing the ball to each other, to everybody else. I don't see them saying, I need to make a basket here to improve my stats. It's not the way I see it. And that's not my gut assessment of those guys. I think Jaylen has brought his game to a new level this year. I think Jason is at a similar level to last year and has had a really good year. I think Jaylen has taken another step forward, and I think a lot of that is rebounding. A lot of it is passing and playmaking. A lot of it is getting to the hoop and taking the hit and trying to make the free throws. I mean, he's just doing things with a lot of energy and intensity, and he's an intense player, and he really wants to win. So anyway, I'm a fan of Jason and Jaylen and the way they're playing, and I don't view them as selfish, my personal opinion.
Okay, so that's just my follow-up. After hearing all these guys, and again, to their credit, for standing out there and facing questions and doing the back and forth, but the support, the public support of Brown and Tatum continues. That's who they're hitching their wagon to, and I wish them luck. Because I think there's a real chance they don't get it, and they'll never get it.
I mean, right now, I don't know if they have a choice, Mike. Like, what are their alternatives? And when I say that, I mean, they can go out and try to make a major deal at the moment. But again, I don't know that deal is out there.
Well, can I jump in right here? Because that's the only piece of, I think, news we kind of got, Wick's answer about the TPE thing and how they're going to use it and when they're going to use it. Can I just play that real quick, Maz, because I want to get to that?
Of course.
Here's Wick Grosbeck on, this big move that you think is coming. It's not. And he basically told you that. Give me number 10, Jimmy.
Money doesn't drive our show around here. It's trying to win, but we have to also run. We are under a cap situation, and we're hard capped at the moment. Like, literally can't spend more than X amount, which is why that TPE is probably going to be more useful. Maybe we can use part of it within the hard cap at the trade deadline, and if it's available to us and we want to do it, we'll do it. But if the deal, if the right deal is there, but otherwise, it's something we'll probably look more to the off season for.
Yeah, you're not doing squat this year at the deadline, and if they do anything, it's next year because they can use the full exception. And Wick just pretty much told that to you. I'm sorry, Matt, for interrupting.
No, I was just going to say they don't have the horses to get it done with the deal this year anyway. They're not going to be good enough. So and then the question becomes, what are you going to get out of your young players if you start berating them or badgering them publicly? So that tells me that they fear that these guys are on the sensitive side, probably needed to be treated a little more delicately. And so, and I'm not saying that the way they're doing it is right. I just think it speaks volumes about where these guys are. These guys can't do it right now. Anyway, they can't do it. They're not ready for it. And to me, if I were them, I would look at the concern I would have if I were them is, are they ever going to be it? Like, to me, that's the scary part.
You bet. I still think they feel that way, meaning even Wick and Danny, and it's why Gorman, I think, feels free to speak the way that he's speaking, or at least Stevens, you know, somewhere in there. Gorman feels he's okay to do that, which you almost, again, never hear a team broadcaster ripping the star players. So there's an undercurrent there. It's just I don't think Brad, Danny, or Wick want to be the guys putting their name to it and calling them out for this stuff because they need them, but they are allowing the commentary, you know, and they're letting their team broadcaster sort of drive that commentary, and I think the team broadcaster is right. I think he's right. And the scariest, you said it, the scary part, and you asked the key question yesterday, Maz, about Brown and Tatum's future and getting them to stay. And in the meantime, figuring out, are they even the guys? Are they even the guys, even if they do stay? Do they get it? Or do they just care about their brand and the all-star nods, and that's all they ever care about? Because there are scores of NBA players that's all they really care about. What do those guys care about? Doesn't feel like they care about winning. I mean, that's obvious. You watch them. They don't give a rat's ass whether they win or lose that game last night or at a lot of games, maybe, it feels like. So there's your Celtics follow. We'll mix in those calls, play some more Wick highlights from yesterday as well. We'll pick it up after this and your calls. Don't go anywhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said. Point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Are you happy with the job the coach is doing?
I am happy with Brad. I talk to Danny and Brad all the time. I feel very connected to those guys. And I look at just the facts of it. I look at, he took in two 19-year-olds, Jalen Brown first and then Jason Tatum. There was questions about drafting both of them, questions about what they could be, and they're both deserved all-stars right now. So yet again, every time I'm asked about Brad, I mention that guys have career years with Brad, and the development of those two 19-year-olds is first and foremost to their own credit, but secondly, it's to Brad's credit.
So how do you react when you hear, you know, calls for their jobs? I'll just say, sitting in this seat, Wick, I haven't heard it like this in, you know, at any time since Danny got here 18 years ago and at any point in time since Brad got here 8 years ago or, you know, whatever it was. The number of calls and the people saying it's time to get a new coach, it's time to now look at Danny Ainge. We've gotten more of that this year than we've ever gotten it combined leading up to this. How do you react to that? When you hear that, what do you say?
Yeah, I react by saying, well, if you know, I'm the one that has to make the decision. I'm the one that has to live with the change and say, oh my God, I let somebody go. And then he's immediately, either one of those guys would be immediately the top candidate in the league for the job. It doesn't matter who else is out there. So there are guys and we're sticking with them. And it was not even a question in my mind.
Welcome to Wick Grosbeck. Yesterday, we'll mix in your Celtics thoughts with our Patriots quarterback discussion. Matt in Manchester on the Seas. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. So, obviously, that was another disgraceful performance by the Celtics last night. And I'm just curious, at what point do we look at Danny Ainge and be like, this is the thing you built. You know, you need to be held accountable for this. This team doesn't have to be this bad. He botched the whole Gordon Hayward, Miles Turner trade. Those guys aren't great, but they're good, usable pieces. They didn't get bench depth last year. And he's just like the Mike Socha of the NBA. Like, he won one championship, and now he's a job for life. And I was just wondering, like, at what point do you guys want to move on from him? Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, moving on is different than hold him accountable.
Yeah, I was going to say, the first question, at what point do we look at Danny Ainge? Now. Now. Like, where's the... Again, the roster is what it is, and in that league, it's a roster game. That's what it is. It's a roster game. It's about talent. And so I question the Turner deal from the beginning. What I don't know is the financial component. It feels like there's a financial element there, because every time you talk about it, the hard cap comes up, whether it's Wick or anybody else. So there must have been a financial component there. But regardless, just look at the whole sequence. And Mike, you've gone over the timeline. I mean, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, now Kemba Walker. They've used all their picks. The team's not good enough. So somewhere, you can't just look at the whole thing and say you made all the right moves. And I think at one point during his interview this morning, Ainge was asked, is there anything, you know, is there a move that you didn't make that you regret or vice versa? And he said yes, but he wouldn't elaborate. So now again, maybe that was the Indiana deal. But I don't know how you can look at this roster and feel like you can't look at the architect. To me, that's where the whole thing starts.
No, he's catching heat. I don't know how anyone could doubt that. Now, the next thing is, you want him gone for someone else? It's a whole different discussion, man.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of bad GMs out there, a lot of wayward franchises. You're one of the ones that get it who've got good leadership. So, you know, for all my Ainge bashing over the years, I've never gone that far. And I'm not going that far now. Matt in Framingham on the Pats. Go ahead, Matt.
So, I got an interesting question about the whole quarterback situation. How patient do you think the Crafts really are with Bill right now? Because I don't know about you, but while I was on hold, and I'm reading Mike Reese's column as I'm on hold, I'm thinking to myself, the patience is going to be tested. I think the patience is already being tested, if you ask me. Because, Michael, you keep saying all the time about how Mike Reese is like the Crafts fits fun. I'm wondering if whether or not that column is a direction from Crafts saying to Bill, hey, Bill,
no,
pick up the pace.
I don't think that's it. I think the urgency comes after the year and you're 7-9 again, and the team looks at it, the ownership looks at it and says, well, where are we headed? What's our record and who's our quarterback? And you've now, Bill, had a bunch of time to figure this out, and we're nowhere closer to where we need to be than we were 2 years ago. And are you the guy to do it at $25 million a year? So I don't think the Crafts are saying, you know, Bill, we need a quarterback this week. That's not the urgency. The urgency is how many more years without a quarterback and with a middling record are we going to allow for the highest paid coach in the history of sports?
That's a separate issue. Yeah. No, I mean, I look at them differently. Look, Mike, just because he mentioned the Reese thing, part of me is amused by the Reese story, because when did Hunter Henry make those comments? Like, it was a week ago.
Last Friday.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a week ago.
Thank you.
And so the other thing is, even before the Hunter Henry comments, we all looked at the calendar and said, well, how's this going to work? How is it that you're going to sign all these free agents without a quarterback?
No, it's not a new take. It's just he decided yesterday.
No. And I don't mean that. I just mean the fact that it's like dawning down there.
Well, it's like, not dawning down there. I mean, I think you had it originally, that there's some sort of... I thought this was a tell, that Mike has picked up something, that they're going to do something soon, and so he writes this to get out ahead of the narrative. I mean, that's what I read it as.
Okay, yeah, and look, again, I'm sort of stumbling all over the place here, but, like, I sort of... Like, part of me wants to grab, you know, grab a tee and hit them over the head down there, like, hello? Like, yeah, you got to move. You got to move a quarterback. You have to move. That's correct. You need to have a quarterback in place before you go after free agents.
I think it's too late. To me, they needed a bunch of dominoes to drop across the league for them to get their guy.
Unbelievable.
And the dominoes aren't dropping, Maz. The dominoes are related to the draft. Those dominoes fall much closer to the draft. Free agency comes first. Free agency is in 3 weeks. The draft is in 2 months. So... all those dominoes they need, whether it's the Jets moving on from Darnold or whatever, the draft picks for Deshaun Watson, that comes closer to the draft because that's the deadline and that's when deals happen, closer to the draft. If not draft night, at least that week. So free agency comes first. The dominoes aren't going to fall. Garoppolo is not going to be available to them before free agency. He's not. The Niners are going to wait to see what the Jets do, and the Jets are going to wait to see what offers they. You see how that all plays?
Absolutely, of course, yes.
So they all have to wait to see what happens with Deshaun Watson, and then what happens with Sam Darnold, and then what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo. All that stuff happens related to who drafts who and where they're picking, and that comes April, not March. So the Pats are not. They have to wait for these other teams to make those calls first, and they are completely at the behest of these other teams. And their
it's unbelievable. Meanwhile, two quarterbacks have already changed hands.
Brutal, right?
And they're sitting there, you know, holding their with their hands stuck in their pants.
Two guys that could have helped him, by the way. Stafford would have been a good guy here. And I think with the right coaching and a second chance, Wentz would have been decent too. But they couldn't be bothered with that. Too expensive.
And Stafford was the one guy I would have wanted.
That is so maddening. Like, it's true, though. As you say it, you really start, you get mad.
Yep.
You do, you straight. This is why I'm trying not to think about it.
Chris and Rainham, go, quick.
Hey, guys. At this point, it's getting to the dejecting point. I can hear it in your voice. I don't even know what to call about because all three of us and me are all on the same page of how awful this is and how terrible that they've done. At this point, to get one quarterback and to get excitement in this area about football, they need to do whatever they can to get Jimmy Garoppolo, which is a crazy thing to say. Whether it's overpaying him, whether it's giving a first-round pick, that will bring excitement to the team and it will bring a legitimate contender back pretty quickly. Anything short of that, it won't do it. I can't believe I'm looking at Marcus Mariota and thinking of that could be a possibility. Do you know how boring he is?
Oh, God. Yes.
Have you ever watched him? Cam Newton was pretty boring this year. Marcus Mariota might be up there as equally boring.
One of the most boring pro athletes in the history of sports. I mean, Marcus Mariota.
He's perfect for Bill.
He's not interesting. On the field, off the field, there is nothing interesting about that guy. But, so Garoppolo is a landing. That's their soft landing. That's the sweet spot. John Lynch said yesterday he's the guy. And if you think John Lynch is lying, maybe he is, but he's not going to lie the day before. If they move on from Garoppolo, it comes at the draft when the Houston Texans finally say, okay, we're going to trade Deshaun Watson because we're being offered these draft picks. Or the Jets say, we're going to move on from Sam Darnold because we're being offered these draft picks. Then the Niners say, okay, we'll take that, move on from Garoppolo. That's when that domino falls. But that's April 24th or 25th, whatever the draft is. It's that date. That's when it happens that week. Free agency starts in 3 weeks. Okay, so I think you're going to have to wait that long if you want Garoppolo. In the meantime, you're going to get a free agent receiver in here or free agent anybody and say, okay, yep, we like our chances. Next year we got a good squad. You want to join us? And the free agents are going to say, yeah, who's your quarterback? And you're going to say, well, we're waiting to see what these other teams do at the draft.
I'm sorry, you can't help but laugh. You can't help but laugh.
This is the position they put themselves in.
Oh, God, it's excruciating. It is so annoying.
They butchered the thing so badly. It's hard to compute that people so smart and have made so many good decisions could be so bad on the biggest.
And listen, as Chris and Rainham said, they should call the Niners and offer a first-round pick and overpay for Garoppolo. You know what happened in that case? Let's say the Niners said yes. The Patriots then say, okay, Garoppolo's going to redo the contract, though.
So. Of course. They're not going to pay him that money.
It's like, this just says no chance. No chance. It's so maddening. Oh, God, it's so maddening.
Okay, I want to discuss Wick Grosbeck going on the air in the first place and the number of Celtics that we hear from publicly in the first place and how actually they deserve a little bit of credit for that versus the other teams in town. We'll get to that after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wick, are you at all disappointed? you know, where you are. I mean, if you just dial it back 3-4 years, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, and Brown and Tatum, and Smart, and, you know, feels like you were really on to something there 3-4 years ago. If I told you 4 years later all those guys would be gone, you'd be under 500, you know, what would you say?
Well, I would say I am disappointed, but I would also say that in those 4 years, we've been to the conference finals 3 times. So it hasn't been a wasteland. It just hasn't gotten all the way. It's been to the Final Four. We're not hanging any Final Four banners, but we've been to the conference finals, I think it's three times in the last 4 years. So we've been a very good competitive team. But, you know, we had hoped Kyrie would stay forever and lead us all the way. He's on maybe the best team in the league right now. And so that's that, and that change touched off a lot of stuff. Because he left, we weren't able to maybe recruit free agents in the same way, and, you know, a bit of a domino effect, but it is what it is. We went for it with Kyrie, we had a good year with him, he tried hard, and then he moved on.
So the point of playing that is not the actual answer, which is interesting, man. No one likes the, we've been to the conference final 3 or 4 years. No one likes that. But the thing about Kyrie is totally true. I mean, just think if Kyrie liked it here. You know, just the dominoes that could have fallen there. You know, could he have, if not drawn Anthony Davis, could he have drawn Kevin Durant? Because they clearly wanted to play together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, was there a path there? If Kyrie liked it here and was invested here. You had a shot at Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant. And if you just wait for Kevin Durant to be a free agent, you don't even need to trade Brown or Tatum. So now you got, you know, options with Kyrie, Durant, Gordon Hayward, your two young stud. Like it really could have spun in a different direction if Kyrie liked it here and was a normal human being.
Wagon.
But, oh, well, so, I mean, that part's true. But that's not why I play. I play that because Wick is there to answer that question. This is as tough a time for the Celtics as we've experienced in a long, long time. I mean, really. Maybe since the Rick Pitino days. I mean, honestly, Maz, when you think about it, when it blew up the last time at the end of the, you know, Kevin Garnett era, I think everyone sort of understood. They aged out. It was time to make the move and go back to the bottom of the league, and everyone sort of understood what the Celts were doing. They were resetting. They were tanking. They were bringing the new coach, and they were back on the slow build back up. And I don't think the fangs were out at the end of the Garnett era. And I mean, when's the last time you've seen and heard Celtics fans this angry?
Well, so I guess, I mean, you know, we can quibble over the precise time, but it was a while ago. And I would say the middle, you know, 06 area, you know, because again, there were people chanting in the Garden for them to fire Doc Rivers. I will never forget that. And Paul Pierce was laughing on the bench while it was going on. So okay, that was pretty bad. But the point is, it's been 15 years. 15 years.
Okay, so it's either that or Pitino or
yeah, right.
The natives are at the gates, and Wick Grosbeck goes on the radio. Danny Ainge does his usual weekly spot. They both answer all the questions. I don't love the responses in a lot of cases, and a lot of it is sort of PR speak and just, you know, circling the wagons. And so the answers we'll quibble with, but they put themselves out there. Wick puts himself out there to be asked the question 3 years ago. You had the squad, and it's all blown up in your face. How do you feel about it? And whether you like the answer or not, he let himself, you know, be asked the question and answer it for all you all to hear. Where's John Henry to answer that same question?
Excellent question.
How do you feel about John Henry not doing the picnic benches this year?
I mean, look, I hate it. I mean, to me, that should be standard. It has been standard. So you are, you know, these teams to me, and we've used this term before, are public trusts. So the community, especially here, is invested in them. And you owe it to your customers to give them a state of the team at least once a year. But really, it should be more than that. But that aside, and I would say the same thing of Kraft. Like, you're at a critical point here now.
Oh, that we haven't heard, really, from either him or Jonathan over these last few weeks during the postseason run. Like, ever since, yeah, it's come on.
Oh, my God, that's weak. It's so weak. Ew, how weak is that, guys? You know, And I know you're communicating with your season ticket base, right? Didn't you send out a notice last week saying we'll extend the deadline because we're trying to get fans in?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was news today on that front as well. So there's some communication there. You do have paying customers, okay? Those are the club box holders and the club seat holders and your season ticket holders and all of that. Those are your paying customers. You don't think you owe them a little bit of, well, here's the plan. Here's what we're, I mean, you don't have to tell us exactly every X, Y, and Z. We don't expect that. But you don't think the fans deserve to, that Robert Kraft deserves to be asked the same question that we asked Wick yesterday? 3 years ago, you had the greatest quarterback of all time. You have this kind of team now. 3 years later, you're here. You still don't have a quarterback. How do you feel about that? And he can BS us on the answer. He can he can say whatever he wants. But how weak is it that he or Jonathan, no one is there to answer that question?
Yeah, including Bill.
That is so weak. And John Henry should be there to answer the same thing. In the Sox defense, Maz, I'll say, at least Sam Kennedy goes out there.
Yep, and even Chaim Bloom.
Right? At least there are guys there on the Red Sox that you can ask that to. And I think Sam Kennedy is a mouthpiece for ownership. I don't mean that in a very derogatory fashion. I think he speaks for ownership. And so you can at least ask Sam that question and you'll get an answer. There's no one there to even ask that question to on the New England Patriots.
No, again, Bill doesn't even go out there and do it. I mean, and if you do, he'd snort at him, you know, blow a snot rocket and grunt a few times, and that'd be the end of it. Like, you know, I get frustrated by it. And look, again, maybe that's the media person in me, but I think that you have an accountability to your fan base, an accountability. Like, and I just don't feel that is being honored. And so, look, again, I give Wick credit, too. I think the Celtics overall do a pretty good job of that.
I mean,
and historically they have. But that aside, the other teams, Mike, Tom Brady left. He left. He won the Super Bowl. And all you get is either something written on a piece of paper or an appearance on a national show that's a nice, safe, soft nest or whatever else.
We haven't gotten that. We got a tweet. Well, I mean, it did. The Patriots Instagram something, but we haven't heard from anyone. Kraft was supposed to do an interview the day of the Super Bowl, the day before. I think they spiked it because we got a quote that says, I'm rooting for Tommy, but did we ever get the sound? Did he ever appear on the air?
So that's a good question. No, I was talking about that comment. Yeah. So that's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, so I think he was going to do one before and they scrapped it or something. So no, they have not put themselves there to ask or answer a very simple question. How do you feel about what's transpired in the last 12 months as it relates to Brady? And they can answer it however they want. Wick puts himself out there to answer that question. And Danny puts himself out there every single week to answer those questions. And it doesn't have to be press conferences, John Henry. It doesn't have to be on the picnic bench. It doesn't have to. You can go to a quote-unquote broadcast partner or soft landing if you want, but be there to give your thoughts on that question. How soft is that? And I'll put the Bruins on this list too. You know who is a total wimp when it comes to this sort of stuff?
Sweeney?
Cam Neely.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Sweeney.
When it comes to this stuff, what a wimp. And if he were standing here in front of me right now, I would absolutely positively not say that. Because he is still, for such a physically intimidating guy, when it comes to this stuff, he wants nothing to do with it. Does he appear anywhere? I'd say this honestly. Does he ever go on EEI? Does that ever happen?
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
Because frankly, this isn't a Felger and Maz thing. I'm not complaining that he doesn't go on Felger and Maz. You got to go on somewhere. Like, Walk me through it. Love to hear it. Cam, every other team in town has their coach and GM and or do a weekly radio spot. Even effing Bill does it. Like, so everyone in town does something once a week on the radio or in some format. Neither you nor Don nor your coach do.
It's a valid point, Mike. You're 100% right.
Thank you, I am. That is so freaking soft to not do that. But never mind, you know, Henry and Warner, guys, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you won the World Series and you had the best young outfield in Boston. Now, 3 years later, you're in last place and they're all gone. How do you feel about that? Just like we asked Wick yesterday, 3 years ago, you had Kyrie, you had veterans, you had young players, you were right there, you were ready to go. 3 years later, you're under 500 and they're all gone. How do you feel about it?
That's a really good question, Mike.
It is. Robert. 2 years ago, you had the greatest quarterback of all time, and you were a playoff team and a Super Bowl team. Now here you are 2 years later. You're under 500, and you still have no quarterback. Your thoughts? It's not. That's not an unfair question.
I mean, how about this? Your coach has taken an unbelievable beating here the last 2 or 3 weeks. Does he have your full support?
I think it's so weak. And so, like, credit to the Souths, but I don't want to go too far with that. They should do that. You should be there. You should be accessible to your fans. And you should be there to answer that question. And if you're going to, you know, go back and forth with your season ticket holders on this and that, why not? How about a little something for those folks on that? And so soft, the Red Sox and the Patriots, never mind the Bruins that do nothing. I don't know if we need to hear from...
Did I really need to hear that?
Yeah, you did. You should speak for your team, Cam, or Don should go out there. Someone should do something.
Well, we won the Stanley Cup.
10 years ago,
dude. I was just going to say that.
Okay. Long commercial for segment is next.
My kids were in diapers when that happened.
Boston's home for sports. Zilger and Mez. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Belger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So, Wick, I want to go back to something you said a little while ago, or just a few minutes ago, about how Tatum and Brown are going to win championships in the next 5 or 10 years. Neither one of those guys are under contract that long. And one of the patterns we see in the league now, and we saw it with Anthony Davis in New Orleans, is these guys get to a certain stage, and then they're unhappy in their current environment, or they lose faith in it, and they ask to be moved on to a different place. So, you know, on the outside, I think lots of people look at this and say, well, you got a limited window in here of a few years to try to convince these guys that you're going to be championship caliber. Do you feel that pressure at all in order to build around them here in the next few years?
Maz, don't ever change, please. Just do me a favor and don't ever change. The ink is still wet on their contract. They both just signed gigantic long-term extensions. I mean, Jalen 1 year before Jason. But Jason just signed, like, literally... that's a few months ago, a max extension, and Jalen signed a huge extension a year ago. So we'll worry about them being unhappy if it ever happens, 4 years from now.
So Wick obviously bristled there, but that's like the most important. There's the two most important questions facing the Celtics, Maz, going forward are the thing you asked. Do you have to worry about keeping those guys here over the next, couple of years? And two, and maybe it's one, I don't know what order this comes in, are they even the right guys? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And look, look, Mike, honestly, I understand his point. I don't mind him getting, you're going to be kidding me. We just signed these guys. You're already asking me this. Like, I don't mind him reacting that way. But the league is what it is now. Like, again, these young guys have unbelievable leverage. And LeBron has completely changed the culture and landscape in that league in terms of how it operates. And so now the player says, no, I have the clout. My talent is the clout. There aren't many guys like me. And so whether it's Anthony Davis or Kyrie or Kevin Durant or LeBron James or James Harden, we can go up and down the list. There's a million of them. They all do it now. And so, which again, is they're right. They have the power. But you have Kyrie Irving chirping in Jason Tatum's ear, as you've pointed out a million times. What do you think he's saying to him? Dude, they better build around you, and if they don't, you call the shots.
Yeah,
that's what he's telling him. He empowers Jason Tatum.
Take a look around the league. If you don't like it, force your way out.
Yeah, totally. And to me, and again, Mike, you've made this point in the past, but I don't think it can be emphasized enough. When Kyrie is talking to Jason Tatum, that's what he's telling him. That's what he's telling him. You have the clout. He's empowering Jason Tatum, and he's saying, you have the power. So when it's your time, you use it.
So huge issue facing the organization. It feels like they are circling the wagons around those two guys. Can they keep them happy enough to keep them here? That's only half of it. The other half is, are those the guys? Because they finally have their team after years of, you know, being oppressed under the thumb of Kyrie Irving or Brad Stevens giving Gordon Hayward too many minutes or whatever. It's now officially their team, and even the Marcus Smart problem has been eliminated for them the last couple of weeks. It's now fully their team, their squad, and the team blows. So they're young. There's a ways to go, but the early returns, if it really is going to be Brown and Tatum's team, the early returns should be scary because those guys clearly don't get it now, and you don't know if they ever will. Who knows? So there's that. We've got that on the table and the Patriots quarterback thing, which we will circle back to here. There is some breaking rumors and speculation about some big-name quarterbacks out there across the league, how it impacts the Patriots. We will discuss first the news with Murray here. No commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.